Notice Monday in 2 Timothy 4:6. What did the Apostle Paul say was at hand? Jenny?
The time of his departure.
Okay, the time of his departure. Now, what is that referring to?
Death.
Yeah, he's talking about his death. Okay, now think about it. He knew that he was going to die, and we know that some of his letters were written in that hour of his life. And so, again, he was thinking about death. Now, that's not something that, you know, we'll get to the lesson. We'll talk about it. Let me not start reading. Tuesday, read what Moses wrote in Psalm 91, okay, which is the first verse there. What has the Lord been to his children in every generation? All right, Marianne. Okay, think about it. He has been our dwelling place. Yeah, I'm tempted to go on with every question, but okay. Wednesday, according to Psalm 94, how is time perceived from God's point of view? Okay, 1,000 years is like yesterday. And so time is really, as we think of time, God is outside of time, but as we think of time, it's really short in retrospect of eternity and perspective of eternity. Notice there, Thursday, Psalm 90, 12 teaches that we can be a good steward by doing what? Yes, Margie?
Using our time wisely.
Okay, by using our time wisely. Yes. Yeah, that's a good rephrasing of that. And so to number our days, to count really our time as valuable. Our life, the life that God gives us, is too precious to waste and to put by the wayside. What was that? Yes, yes, yep. Friday, Psalm 90:14 shows us that we can rejoice in our days because of what? Okay, because of God's mercy. Amen. And we'll talk about that in the context of that that psalm and when it was written. And then Saturday's question, how does 1 John 2:17 contrast the world and the will of God? Okay, the world and the lust thereof passes away. Everything we see passes away. The cars, the houses, they all pass away. But the will of God is what lasts forever. Okay? So good. So that's the questions this week. Let's take our Bibles as we begin the lesson this morning and turn to Psalm 90. And we'll begin here this morning in Psalm chapter 90. We're dealing with the third lesson here on the stewardship of our time. The stewardship of our time. As we've said in this lesson, a lot of times when we think about the idea of stewardship, our mind seems to automatically go to money. But we find that in the Bible, stewardship is more than just money. That's one aspect of it, but we're talking about the stewardship of life. And if we are stewards of all of life, then everything that's part of life is a stewardship. Now notice Psalm 90. Let's read, we'll read the psalm here. There's 17 verses, and let's do this morning. I'll read a verse, and then you all read it together. We can try that, right?
Responsive
all right.
Reading.
Yes, responsive reading, is that what that's called? All right. So let's do that. Psalm 90, I'll be in verse 1, you all do verse 2, I'll do verse 3, I'll do verse 4. Ready? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told.
Labor and sorrow.
Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to consider the subject of stewardship. We pray that you would teach us this morning according to your word and help us to understand the perspective that Moses gave, Lord, concerning our lives and how short and fleeting it is. And I pray that you would help us to make the most of our time. And we understand, Lord, that the stewardship of life is the stewardship of all of our time. And I pray that you'd bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now again, we pointed out in the questions in verse number 12. Notice here what Moses writes. He says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Back in notice Psalm 89, the psalm before Psalm 90, in verse 47, just a few verses there before, he says, "Remember how short my time is, wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" So again, he describes, and we find really this idea of the brevity of life in the Old and the New Testament, and it is a theme throughout the Psalms, just to consider to help us think about time and the stewardship of our time. Now, something that we often hear from, I guess being in the younger years of my life, as far as in our family with young children, many times older folks will say to me, they say, or to my wife, as they see all the kids, they say this as they see our struggles. They say, "Enjoy it while you can. It's going to go by fast." Okay, some of you have even said that to us, I'm sure. And the idea is that in the older years of a person's life, they see how quick life goes by. And therefore, they kind of want to encourage the young people to really make the most of their younger years, because those years just fly by. And pretty soon, you find yourself thinking this question, where has life gone? And really, that illustrates for us, and that's kind of something that everybody kind of says. Even a parent will instruct their young child, make the most of your time in school, make the most of your time in college, and make sure that you make the right decision. Why? Because all of life is going to go by quickly, and you can't not have those decisions back. You can't have this time back. It's fleeting by quickly. Now, we're all aware that we're going to die one day. Now, the day of everybody's death is inevitable. Okay, every single person is going to die. That's a fact of life. Now, although we should consider and prepare for death, we do not dwell on death, but we ought to consider it. In other words, I don't think we're to go through life every day thinking, well, you know, we're all going to die one day, with a depressed attitude. But we ought to prepare for our day of departure. And so it's something that we ought to consider. There is much more, though, to life than there is to death. Would we agree with that? Because death is just a moment, but all of life is lived, and so there's more to life than death, but all of life ought to be prepared in preparation for our day of death. And so what we do with our time is really what we do with our lives. Time is a gift from God. It is. Every morning we wake up, we breathe God's air. And I remember my grandfather would say to my dad, he said, "Are you thankful for the air you're breathing today?" And if one of my uncles or dad replied no, he said, "Then stop breathing." And the idea is that the breath comes from God. And I was thinking about my wife's grandmother. She was in her older years. I can't remember exactly how old she was, but she had a good health. And one day we get a call that she just passed away in her sleep. She wasn't in the hospital. She was at home, laying in bed. And the morning she woke up, her husband found her, and he touched her body. It was cold, just like that. Unaware, just stop breathing. It shows the brevity of life. So, since we know that we're going to answer to God for the stewardship of our life, then we must conclude that we will give an answer for the stewardship of our time. Because the time that we have is part of life, isn't it? The time that we have, the time that we invest in things, we spend in things, is going to be met with God. Now, when this psalm was written, Moses wrote this psalm, and it's believed by most commentators. Actually, I haven't found anybody that contradicted that, but obviously it's written by Moses. But he wrote this, it's believed, during the wilderness wanderings. Now, think about the wilderness wandering. What's the context of that? Well, the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, and the majority, we know that the 12 spies were sent in to check out the land, and 10 gave an evil report and 2 gave a good report. And so a consensus was taken, and therefore they decided not to go in. And so God said, well, therefore everybody that's 21 and older is going to die in the wilderness. Now, think about that for a moment. When this psalm was written, was in the wilderness wanderings, where the children of Israel would wander and would basically wait for everybody that was 21 years of age and older to die. It was the longest funeral procession in human history. Now think about the context of that, because the younger people were just kind of waiting and said, you know, we're just basically waiting for these older people to die so that we can go into the promised land. Now, what we try to relate to the psalm is the fact that in this psalm he talks about life, the time that we have and the time that the children of Israel had. And it would seem to us as we look at the wilderness wandering, we would say, that was a waste of time, wasn't it? All of those wanderings because of their unbelief, because of their refusal to trust God, we could say they wasted their time. They were basically waiting to die. No one ought to live their lives like that, saying, well, I'm just waiting to die. No. There's much to life while we are alive. Think about even there were 60,000 men who were ready to fight and take up arms. 60,000 when they were on the brink of going to the promised land, they decided not to go. 60,000 men who were trained as soldiers to go and fight. Yet, they all died in the wilderness with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Think about it. When you look at this group of young men, those soldiers who were ready to take the land, I was thinking, what a potential. What energy. What power. Yet, they were part of the longest funeral procession in human history. And that's what is said about them. Their energy, their talent, their training has all been wasted in the wilderness. Now, in the context of this psalm, that's when Moses is writing this and really drawing our attention to life and really to our time. Now, we're going to see three things in this passage concerning the stewardship of our time. First of all, and you should have that in your notes as the first point there. Notice here, we see first of all the place God holds in our lives. Notice verse 1. He says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now, I want to elaborate on this particular point here, and I came up with my own points that are not in your notes. Okay, and so I'll give them to you. I see four things here in the place God holds in our lives. Notice, first of all, we see that a steward understands the focus of life. He begins by verse 1, and Moses says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Look at what the focus, where he thinks about, before he talks about time and how time is fleeting and life is fleeting, he says that God has been their dwelling place. That's the focus of life. We think about time and the things that we spend, the time that we spend doing certain things. All of life and all of our time ought to be in focus of God being the dwelling place. In other words, we think about the promised land. The promised land was not about a land. It was about being where God wanted them to be. God was going to meet them in the promised land, and they refused to go in. That's what happened. And therefore, they had the wrong focus, didn't they? They thought to themselves this, well, we can't go in. Perhaps some of them thought, I don't want to die in the wilderness. Well, that's illustrated later when the walls of Jericho came down and not one of them died. You see, God's deliverance. And so Moses draws our attention as we think about the place that God holds in our lives when we think about our stewardship is that a steward understands the focus of life, that life is about God. All of life is about God, and specifically when it comes to our time, because He is our dwelling place. In other words, when we think about the will of God, it is not so much found in a geographical location as it is found in a person. It's found in the person of God. Sometimes people think about safety, and they think, well, I want to be safe, and I want to have my family safe, and that's a commendable thing to do. But we would say, well, what if a missionary goes to a foreign land? That's a dangerous place to go. Well, if they're in the will of God, that's the safest place for them to be. Why? Because God is their dwelling place. You see, God, if we have the right focus, it determines a lot of things in our lives. So we see a steward understands the focus of life. But number two, we see in verse number two, a steward seeks the favor of the Lord. He says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, he kind of mentions for just a moment here that God is the creator of the universe. He is the one, God is the one that has given us time. And Moses turns and said, look, Lord, you are a dwelling place. We ought to focus on you, but also we ought to seek your favor. He says, because from everlasting to everlasting, that's outside of time. He says, you are God. Therefore, Moses has the attitude here that our life and our time will be spent seeking for your favor. In other words, we can either do this. Well, you know what? My time is about me. I need some me time. That's what people say today. You know, I did that to my wife yesterday. Or what day was it? Friday. She went cleaning the house, and so I had all the kids. And two of them were thrown up. They were sick. Okay. So she came back, and I did that jokingly. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have some me time. But I said, I need some me time. Okay? I was just joking, by the way. I didn't have some me time. But that's the attitude of the day, right? My time is mine. Don't waste my time. Right? Someone comes and perhaps needs a helping hand, and we have the attitude sometimes, well, don't waste my time. Well, is it our time or is it God's time? You see, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You're outside of time, and therefore the time that you give us, because we're your created beings, then it's going to be lived seeking your favor. God, are you pleased with my time? Are we living our time, spending our time for the pleasure of self or for the favor of God? Now, there are times in our lives where God appointed. There's days to work. There's days to rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. There's nothing wrong with vacation. Sometimes you get the idea, well, you know, if we enjoy life, that's wrong. It's not wrong to enjoy life. It's not wrong to go on vacation and to do. There's many beautiful things in this world that are designed for human beings to enjoy. That's God's gift to man. He says the creation is yours. You do with it as you please. You have dominion over it. But we have to be conscious, again, that everything we do in our life ought to be done seeking the favor of God. Okay? So Moses here, the steward, understands the focus of life. God is our dwelling place. He seeks the favor of God. But number three, the steward comprehends the finality of the living. He says this in verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. Notice here, God, you turn man to destruction. So we know that man was formed of the dust of the earth, and because dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. You see, that's the finality of man. And Moses turns and he says, look, during my life, I'm going to focus. God is my dwelling place. I'm going to seek for the favor of God, because God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And I understand, with this in mind, that my life, the end of my life, is to return to the dust. Now, we know the Word of God says that the flesh will return to dust and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You see? And so there's the physical aspect of life and our physically, we're all going to die and return to the dust. But we also have a spirit. And the spirit is what is going to live forever. And therefore, we see here that life, the finality of life, we understand that it's connected to the place God holds in our lives. And so we see a steward understands the focus of life. He seeks the favor of the Lord. He comprehends the finality of the living. And number four, the steward realizes the fleeting of the years. He says in verse number four, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Notice he doesn't even say it's like a night. He says it's just like a watch in a night. Soldiers would have a schedule where they would rotate and they would take different watch during the night to look out for the enemy. Just like one of those short watches. That's life. And he points out to us here that 1,000 years, and we think nobody lives 1,000 years. Anybody plan to live 1,000 years? I don't think so. But in the sight of God, they're but as yesterday. Do you remember what you did yesterday? Do you remember how short? Maybe you had a long day yesterday. I don't know. But today, you look back and said that was short. It went by fast. Especially when you're enjoying yourself. You know, I remember when my wife and I got married and we went on our honeymoon to Florida. It was a wonderful time there, and we had a cousin that provided a house for us. It was a wonderful time, but it went by like this. I mean, it was so fast that we were like, man, I'd like to stay here a few more weeks. But we understand that we look back and say, wow, that went by fast. And someone that has the proper stewardship of time will look at life and say, there's no time to waste, because the life that we have, as we think here, just 1,000 years are just as yesterday. And if we give the average today, let's say we live to the most 90 years old. And most people don't even live to be 90. But if we live to be 90 years old, life just goes by fast. It's fleeting. And so the place God holds in our lives is connected to the stewardship of our time. Number two, we see in your notes there, number two, we see the purpose God has for us. So he says in verse number 12, okay, since we have to be focused on God, who is our dwelling place, seek the favor of the Lord, understand the finality of life, we're all going to return to dust, and understand the fleeting of the years, it goes by fast. What are we to do? God gives his instruction, and he says in verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Now, if we go back to verse number 5, he works his way up to verse number 12. He says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. So here God tells us plainly, this is why I have given you life. This is the purpose I have for you. God wants us to number our days so that we might make the most of our life on earth. Why? Because we see that if we continue in verse 7, he says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. Now, during the wilderness wanderings, what was at the forefront of them? Their sin, their unbelief, their disobedience to God. And they lived in the wilderness wandering. You remember, they made a decision to rebel against God, and then God pronounces judgment, said, you're going to be in the wilderness until you die. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, no, we'll go in. It was too late, wasn't it? Why? Because of that particular time when they refused to obey God, and now they had to stare as they were waiting to die their iniquities before God until they died. That's a sad way to live. He goes on to say in verse number 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, we can summarize somebody's life, and typically it's summed up in a conversation. If we ask somebody, say, hey, can you tell me about this person that you loved and that passed away? And we summarize their lives in a few sentences. And we remember particular things. It says that's what life is. We remember specific times. He goes on to say, the days of our years are 70 years, and by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Notice, their strength, labor, and sorrow. Why? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You see, the perspective here of the wilderness wanderings and the people who lived and say, you know what, God, we're not going to do this. The strength that they had was turned to labor and sorrow. Remember what the promised land was known as, according to the book of Hebrews? Rest for God's people. Well, what do you mean that we're going to go in and have war? But that was the rest of the Lord. You see, it was not about a place, it was about the person. God would give them rest. And here they have all of their strength, all the energy they have, all the time they had in front of them. And yet it was turned to labor and sorrow. Can you imagine living that way? If we put ourselves in their shoes, and let's say we were today, all of us as a group, in the wilderness wanderings. Everybody over 21? Right? Okay. Everybody's over 21. So we would all travel together in the wilderness, move from place to place, set up a tent, go to another place, and we just wait. Say, who's next? Who's going to die next? And perhaps in our conversation we would think, I think I would have. Man, that was truly a place of milk and honey. I mean, they gave the report and they said, remember, they said it was exactly what God said it was. Man, I wish we could go back. I wish we could change things. I wish we could change that decision-making, that time in our lives when we refuse to obey God. Can you imagine how our children could be running around in that promised land? But now they have to walk through all of this mess. And we have to deal with enemies all around. Man, we should have obeyed God. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, and we would all say, yeah. You see, Moses said, do we understand the value of our time? How precious our life and our time is? He says in verse number 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And then in verse 12 he says this, so, here's the conclusion, here's the what we ought to do in our lives, here's the purpose God has for us. So, here it is, for all of God's people. So, children, you who are going to go into the promised land, we're all going to die, but you're going to go into the promised land, Moses says. So, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We are to number our days. The reason we are to do that is that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. I was reading in his book on the stewardship of life, Dr. Clarence Sexton says, the decisions we make in the days we live are more important than the days we live. You could live a lot more days than someone else and make wrong decisions and waste your life. Now think about it this way. Let's say you have a 25-year-old young man or young lady, and they live their life in obedience to God. And they say, well, and they've been submitted to God, and they live their life, and they've made the most of their time, and they died at 25. Or you can look at somebody else's life that's lived to be 90. And we can look and say, they've lived a long life. What a long life, blessed of God. But they didn't make wise use of their time. They actually wasted it. And they get to the end of their life saying, what a waste it's been, my life. What life would you rather have? Would you rather be the 25-year-old that was a good steward of his time? Or would you be the 90-year-old that regrets all of his life? I think I'll take the 25-year-old that is said, been submitted to God, been obedient to God, and obviously we're not perfect, but has been conscious of his time and making wise use of the time. You see, there are false ideas today about stewardship. For example, we say this, I give 10% of my income to the Lord. That's the tithe. That's what the word tithe means, 10%. And so we say, well, the rest belongs to me. See, I give 10 to the Lord, the rest belongs to me. And so a lot of times people say, well, you know, and I believe it's the same with our time. So we give 10% of our time to the Lord and the rest is for us. I think that's a wrong way to look at it. And I think that we understand that based upon the first two lessons. You see, it is not only the 10% that we call the tithe that belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. It is not the 10% of our time that belongs to the Lord. It is all of our time that belongs to the Lord. You see, God just says, look, give me this, it belongs to me, and the rest, you're still a steward of it because God has given it all to you. And our time is not to say, well, you know, God, let me put this compartment for you. Here's 10%, 20%, 25%. I'll be a, you know, fanatic, 25%. No, 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 no. All of life, all of our time, it all belongs to God. And we're steward of that. That's the right idea when it comes to stewardship. And so we see, thirdly, the prayer God hears from us. Now, based upon this, Moses is going to pray this prayer in verse 13. He says, "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So satisfy us early in thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." So notice this prayer is basically this. There is a reckoning day coming. So this is the prayer. God desires, notice in verse 13 and 14, God desires for us to be glad all of our days. That's God's intent. God does not intend someone to go through life and be depressed and be miserable all their lives. God intends for our lives to be lived in gladness all of our days. All of our days. We have not been left on earth to suffer, to mourn and groan through life. Okay? We're to be glad all of our days. In verse 15 he says, "Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy word appear unto thy servant, and thy glory unto their children." This is a powerful prayer. His prayer is such, "Lord, I have been a witness of your mighty hand. May there be a fresh demonstration of thy mighty power to our children." That's the prayer. Did Moses get on the promised land? No. 21 years and older, did they get in the promised land? No, they did not. But this is Moses' prayer for the next generation. After he says, "Teach us to number our days," and then he prays, says, "God, may you be more real to the next generation than you were to our generation." Think about even the founding fathers of our country. Our founding fathers knew that what they did establish as a nation was not for themselves. It wasn't. Our founding fathers knew that the nation they fought to establish, the republic they formed, the things they put in the Constitution and of this country were not just for them. Why? Because they would soon be dead. They were not going to enjoy the fruits of forming this nation, but the generations to come could enjoy the fruits of it. And surely they have. It's become the greatest country in the history of the world. And the prosperity and the blessing of God, but they didn't do that for themselves, did they? As a matter of fact, many of the founding fathers, if you study them, when they were in the conflict with England and seeking to be independent, many of them lost their lives, lost their family, lost their property. They didn't do what they did for themselves. But with the time they had, they were looking to the next generation. You see, Moses' observation is this. "I have been watching this funeral for 40 years. I've been watching death takes its victims. By the hundreds of thousands, they have died. And I want our children to have something better than this. You see, Psalm 90 concludes with verse 16 and 17. It says, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." William Borden is a famous young man, and maybe you may not know him, or you may, but the Borden family was a very wealthy family. One of their sons, named William Borden, was known as Borden of Yale. I don't know if you've anybody read the biography of William Borden. Okay, that'd be a good one to get. This young man surrendered his life to serve God as a missionary. And by the way, he inherited millions of dollars, and at that time it was quite a significant amount. But he wanted to reach the Muslim people. He was left a fortune and he gave it all away. What? He did. When he gave his fortune away, he wrote in his Bible, "No reserves." He was trusting God and God alone. He made his way to Egypt, and there he learned the language and tried to witness to the people there. In Egypt, he contracted meningitis and he wrote in his Bible, "No retreats." No matter what hardship may come, he said, "No retreats." In Egypt, before he died in 1913, having never reached his goal, he never got there. He never got to the mission field he wanted to go to. He wrote in his Bible, "No regrets." No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. You see, he found the secret of 1 John 2:17. We mentioned that verse in the question. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You see, stewardship involves all of life. The stewardship of life is the stewardship of our time. May God help us by His Spirit's power to make the adjustments we need to make to be what Jesus Christ wants us to be and to make much of the time that we have. May the Lord help us to be found good stewards of our time.